Page 1014, Perek Tezvav. We just started it last week. Who wants to open it? Just open it the whole way. Okay, last time we learned about the dinim of, the various mices, tithings that you give the various years. At the end of the third year, you have to get rid of everything. Okay, then it says like this, Mikei Sheva Shonim Tase Shemitah. At the end of the 7 years, you make Shemitah. But it doesn't mean 7 years and then Shemitah. Shemitah is the seventh year. Okay, that's what the term means. V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah, this is what the Shemitah, these are the laws of the Shemitah. Shemait Kobama Sheyodei, you have to remit, meaning give up the debt of the authority that somebody owes you, the amount that you owe you, that your friend owes you, you're not allowed to press your fellow or his brother, because Shemitah comes to Hashem. And like we started learning last week, it means very simple. When the sabbatical year comes, just like you're not allowed to have growth in the field, you're not allowed to work in the field, the Torah says there's a din of Shemitah for what's called Shemitah's Ksafim, that the money that people owe you, the debt is cancelled. Not only that, you're not allowed to push them for the debt, you're not allowed to ask them for the debt, because it's Shemitah to Hashem. Now, Shemitah, even the land Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, is rabbinic, and Shemitah's Ksafim is only biblical when the Shemitah of agriculture is biblical. Because it's rabbinic, so then Shemitah's Ksafim nowadays is rabbinic. And like we learned last time, we just started this whole thing, that when Hillel saw that people start lending money, even though the Torah warns you that you're not allowed to stop, right? And we explained why, we'll get to it in a minute. So Hillel instituted what's called Prusbul. Prosbul means you give over your debts to the rabbinic court, and therefore it's not you collecting the debt, it's Bezdin collecting the debt, and therefore the laws of Shemitah don't apply, and therefore the debt are allowed to be collected. That's what's done this year, the year of Shemitah. Now, the din of Shemitah, the Gemara says, Shemitah is Meshametas, ain't Shemitah Meshametas Ela B'Seifa. That means, when do the debts fall off, and this is what they learn out from the Pasuk, Miketz Sheva Shanim, because normally the agricultural Shemitah is from the beginning of the seventh year. Right? The whole seventh year you cannot plow a field, plant a field. When it comes to the monetary issue, the Torah says, Ein Shemitah Mishametes Ela B'Seifa, meaning Shemitah that you can't collect a debt becomes affected at the end of the Shemitah year. That means, during the Shemitah year, you can still collect debts. It's at the end of the Shemitah year is when, and that was the last day of the Shemitah year, that's when all debts go kaput. Unless, if you gave it over to Bezdin, then those debts are allowed to be collected based on what Hillel instituted. Now, what happens if somebody lends somebody money, and he says, the debt is for 10 years. He said, the debt is for 10 years. Then Shemitah does not undo the debt. Because the time that you said you could collect it, and you can't collect it earlier, is after Shemitah. During Shemitah, you can't collect the debt. Meaning, what the Pasuk is saying, this is what the Gemara learns, but the Pasuk is saying, a debt which is owed to you at the end of Shemitah, you can't collect. But if the debt's not owed to you at the end of Shemitah, it's for 10 years, so then Shemitah cannot undo the debt because it's not collectible during the Shemitah year, that the Shemitah year will undo what's owed. It's not another loophole.
It doesn't have a due date.
It's similar to Prusbul.
It's not because you're Prusbul, no. This is Chatchila Shemitah. A normal debt, Shemitah undoes. If you make a prusbel, that's the loophole. Right? Because really, Shemitah should undo the debt.
But this is also like a contract.
No, but it's a contract that says, I'm not collecting the debt until 10 years. So because Shemitah cannot, the year of Shemitah is not a collectible time, Shemitah cannot uncollect it. So therefore the din is, it still stays.
So you said it's only the last day of Shemitah, so the other 11 months you could collect the debt, is that?
Right. What? Dr. Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch, you do a prusbel at the beginning of Shemitah. There was one or two times that Rebbe did prusbel also at the end. Many times he didn't do it. Whatever. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Now, what happens if you buy goods on credit? As long as you don't say the money is a debt of a loan, then Shemitah also doesn't affect it. You take merchandise and credit, right? In the business world, you take merchandise and credit. As long as you don't say it's a loan, then I'm lending you the money that you owe me. Let's say you take $10,000 of merchandise, right? So as long as you don't say, I'm lending you the $10,000 or the $9,000, he puts down $1,000. As long as you don't say, I'm lending you the $9,000, the thing is, it's not a debt. It's not a debt of a loan. So that you owe the money. Okay. Now, what happens, the Gemara says, if somebody gives back the debt during Shemitah? I mean, they give it back afterwards. The lender has to tell them, you don't have to pay it. He has to tell them, Shemitah under the debt. What happens if he says, I still want to pay you? Then you could accept it, not as the payment of the debt, but as a gift. It's interesting. Because again, Shemitah undid the loan. And even if you want to give back the money, you have to tell the guy, you know what? Shemitah undid the loan. If he says he still want to pay you, so then he has to pay him.
So this could be like if he came like a couple days after the end of Shemitah the following year and he wanted to pay him, is that kind of the condition would be?
Yeah. Okay, but let's see some of the psukim in 10:14. Well, we're about to start 10:16. Okay, as anochi tigais, you can do this to the non-Jew. Vasheiyeh lecho asachicha, but whatever it has to do with your brother, tashmik yadecha, that you have to let it go. Okay. Now, the question is, why is the Torah saying the same thing again? The Torah says, a guy, you're allowed to collect the debt, but don't do it to your brother. The Torah just gets to saying, you can't collect the debt of your brother. Why is the Torah saying it again? From here, the Gemara learns out, like we said before, it's only if it's a private debt. But if it's a debt handed over to Beis Din, then it is collectible. But here there's a very interesting argument between the Rambam and Ramban. When the Torah says it's an interesting din also by interest. You're not allowed to take interest from a Jew. So it says, you're not allowed to take, as a nochri, you could take interest. But you can't take interest from a Jew. Or the same thing over here, Shemitah, you're not allowed to collect money from a Jew, but you can collect money from the goy. So the question is it a mitzvah to do it to the goy? Or you're allowed to do it to the goy? In other words, you're not allowed to take interest from a Jew. Or it becomes Shemitah, you have to undo the debt, right? And a goy's debt, you're allowed to collect. Is it a mitzvah to collect the debt of a goy? Or does the Torah say you're allowed to? In one second, when it says you can't take interest from a Jew, you can take interest from a guy, does it mean it's a mitzvah to take interest from a guy? Or it's a, you're allowed to, but it's not a mitzvah. The Rambam holds in both cases, it's a mitzvah. The Rambam holds when the Torah says about interest, yeah? The Rambam says, the Torah says it, in fact, if you look at even this pocket, the pasuk says the last words on the page. As anochri tigais, right? You may pass the debt. So the question is, does it mean you may or you should? Because in Hebrew you can learn it both ways. So Nachi Tigais, you could mean it says you must press him, or you may press him. So the Rambam learns, no, you must press him, it's a mitzvah. And the Ramban says it's not true, it's only optional. You don't have to take interest, but you're allowed to. What? No, most poskim hold like the Ramban that you could, you don't have to. Now, the question is, in this pasuk, yeah, it says, in pasuk beis, it says, l'yiges esrei ehu ve'esachiv. You cannot collect from your friend, which means a Jew, or your brother. Right? Why isn't that repeating itself? If it's your friend, meaning a Jew, so then it includes your brother. Why is the Torah saying two things, your friend and your brother? So the Sifri learns, that it refers also to guys, to goyim that live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And even what's called the Ger Toshev. There's a certain time, it doesn't exist today. The Rambam writes it doesn't exist today. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when the laws of slavery applied, there was a concept called Ger Toshev. What does a Ger Toshev mean? It's a guy who accepted upon themselves in Beis Din the 7 Noahite laws because God told Moshe at Har Sinai that a non-Jew needs to keep the 7 Noahite laws. And in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was what's called a Ger Toshev. Ger Toshev was a guy who lived in Eretz Yisrael, but because he accepted the 7 mitzvahs in Beis Din, he had citizen privileges. So the Mepharshim say that over here the Torah says, when it says, L'yiges esri'ehu ves achiv, it means only a Jew, not a Ger Toshev. Meaning, even though he has privileges in Eretz Yisrael, but the law of Shemitah doesn't apply to him, and therefore you could collect the debt from him. When the Torah says a second time, in Pasuk, the end of Pasuk Gim, on top of the 10:16, Esachicha tashmet yodecha, again, your brother you have to let go, that teaches us two things. Number one, that if it's given over to Beis Din, it's not your brother, you could collect the debt. And also the Sifri says, if it's secured with collateral, if a loan is secured with the mashkin collateral, Shemitah does not take away the loan. Because it's already considered paid through the collateral. So Shemitah, again, interesting, doesn't take off, even though normally Shemitah takes off debts, it doesn't take off a debt given to Beis Din. It doesn't take off a debt that you made the chatchila for 10 years. So then, during the Shemitah year, it's not collectible yet. So therefore, Shemitah cannot undo it, and therefore you can collect it afterwards. Or if a debt secured by collateral, you can also collect during Shemitah. By the way, it's another interesting din about Prusbul. The Gemara says, not the Gemara, the Rishonim write, Prusbul that Hillel made is only effective if you own land. If you own land, then you can make a Prusbul. If you don't own land, you can't make a Prusbul. But today they're lenient that we make Prusbul even though there's no land, even though sometimes Beis Din is makna the land, to give the land, and every Jew has land because Avram Avinu, we learned already a long time ago, when Avram Avinu paid Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, when he bought Maris and Machpelah to bury Sarah then, so he paid 400 Shekel Kesef. So they make a cheshbon based on redeeming a field of 50 Shekel for a base kur. So 400 shekel would be 8 base kor, right? Base kor is a square. Now, in a base kor, 8 base kor is 600,000 square amas. 600,000 square cubits. That's how much land is in 8 base core. Base core is like an acre, whatever it is. Yeah. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu bought Maris and Machpelah for 400 shekel kesev, he actually bought for 600,000 Jews a square amma in Eretz Yisrael. So every Jew really owns land. And other opinions hold in Pros, but there's also brought down in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that some opinions say that when Hillel made a prosbul giving it over to Bezdin, it's only like the chief Bezdin of that generation or that place. Like Ravami, Ravasi, those people where they had a big Bezdin. Because the reason why Hillel was able to institute prosbul, it's based on the concept in Halacha that's called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Hefker Bezdin Hefker means Bezdin, and it's only the big top best batidinim, have a right to make your property free for all. Never right to come see your house is not yours. I mean, you just don't do it. I mean, if there's a reason to do it. They have a right to say your house is not yours, your car is not yours, your field is not yours, your clothing are not yours. Hefker Bezdin, when Bezdin makes something Hefker, it has a din of Hefker. And that's all connected to Prozbal. How Hillel was able to change the halach of money, because he said Bezdin has a right to make it hefker. So there are many Rishonim, in fact, which is brought down also in Shulchan Aruch, that hold that you can only make a prosbul if you have a big Bezdin. But today, it says in Shulchan Aruch, everybody is lenient because even without a prosbul today, you can collect the debts anyway. Somebody doesn't make a prosbul today, in Shulchan Aruch it says you can collect the debt. Now, the Rebbe says it's better to make a prosbul. The formal world today, B'chol, doesn't make a prosbul. No, only Chabad does, because Alter Rebbe says you should.
So when they go, what the remedy?
Well, I'm saying you can still collect with Midraban and Chatchili, didn't intend that way, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, top of the page.
Prosbul is not only for land, for any loan.
Prosbul is for any loan. But in order to give over the debt to Bezdin, has to be giving the land over to Bezdin, then that's how they create your debt. Okay, whatever. Ephes, but. Here is an interesting pasuk. Ephes, but, the Torah says, Ki lo yiyah b'cha evyon. There won't be any poor people. The Torah gives a bracha, you're not going to have any poor people. So Rashi right away asks, in pasuk Yud Aleph, at the bottom of this page, Hashem says, there will never not be poor people in your midst. Here the pasuk says, Ephes ki lo yiyah b'cha evyon. There won't be any poor people amongst the Jews. Ki vari chivelech Hashem. Hashem is going to give you a bracha. At the bottom of the page, 10 psukim, 8 psukim later, the Torah says, there will never not be a poor person amongst the Jews. It says, mamash a contradiction on top of the page to the bottom of the page. So Rashi says, from the Medrash, but when the Jews do the will of Hashem, there won't be any poor people. When the Jews don't do the will of Hashem, that's when there will be poor people. Now, by the way, what is this expression, Evyon? Many times in Chumash, you have the Inyan Ani, Rosh, Reishin, Ani V'Rosh Atzdiku, and there's an Evyon. Rashi again over quotes over here that in Hebrew, Evyon is the lowest level of poverty. Yeah. And Rashi, what is the word Evyon coming? To'ev. He wants whatever you give him. He has so nothing, whatever you give him, he wants. You know the expression, beggars can't be choosing. He's not choosing because he has so little money. So Evyon is the lowest level of a poor person. And he says, Ki barich yivrech Hashem, Hashem will give you a blessing. Ba'aretz, in the land, Asha Hashem alakech ha'neisin l'cha nachlo l'rishta, that God is giving you as inheritance. Okay? So, the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara tells a story like this. Ilfa and Rabbi Yechanan were two scholars of the Gemara. They're both students of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. Okay, they were both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They're Rabbi Yechani, you know, famous Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yechani, okay. They were very poor. Rabbi Yechani sold everything he had to learn Torah. So they said, you know what? They said to each other, Rabbi Yechani said to Ilfa said, Rabbi Yechani said to each other, let's go make business that we should fulfill the pasuk that says there won't be a poor man. He said, right now we're poor. We're in Eretz Yisrael. They were poor. He said, now the Torah is not telling the truth, so to speak. The Torah says there won't be any poor people in Eretz Yisrael. But we're poor. So we're not, you know, we're going against what the Torah says. So let's do business. We'll get to be, okay. So listen to this. They sat under a shaky wall and they were eating bread. Two malachim came. Rehan and Ilfa, they were very, very super great. Two malachim came, and Rabbi Yechanan heard one malach speaking to the friend. And he said, one malach said to the other malach, let's knock off the wall, let's knock down this wall, and let's kill the two tzaddikim who want to give up learning Torah to go into business. Okay? So the malach says, no. No, the other malach says, no, let's not do it, because one of the two is very great, and he's going to become great, and his time has not come to die. Okay? So Bechen and Ilfa are sitting eating lunch, and they're having a meeting that they're going to go into business. And two malachim came and said, okay, let's knock down the wall over them. They'll die and finished. So one, the other malach says, no, we're not doing it. Now Bechen heard the discussion of the malachim, and Ilfa didn't. Okay? So Rabbi Yechanan says to Ilfa, did you hear the words of the Malachim? He said, nope. So Rabbi Yechanan said like this, because I heard the words of the Malach, and Ilfa didn't hear it, meaning, the who's going to become great means me, not him. So Rabbi Yechanan said to Ilfa, guess what? I'm not going into business, I'm going into learning. And he says, I'll keep the other pasuk that says there will never stop being a poor person in the world. She said, I'll keep that pasuk. That's for me. So Rabbi Yechon went to yeshiva. Ilfa went into business. Okay? Ilfa became very wealthy. When he came back to the yeshiva, by the time he came back, Rabbi Yechon was appointed to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And the custom in those days, the same thing with a Kohen Gadol. The pasuk says in Emma, Kohen Gadol Me'achov. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol has to be richer than all the other Kohenim. And if he's not, all the other Kohenim have to give him money until he became richer than all of them. Because then it would be more respected. A Kohen Gadol Me'achov. A Gadol, he became wealthy, Me'achov from the brother. They gave him money to become rich. So in those days, that people should respect the Rosh Yeshiva, everybody gave him a lot of money. So the Rosh Yeshiva became wealthy. So he says, so now Ilfa comes back to the Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yechanan became the Rosh Yeshiva. So the people said to Ilfa, you know something? If you would have came back to learning, we would have made you the Rosh Yeshiva, because you're greater than Rabbi Yechanan. We would have made you the Rosh Yeshiva. So what happened? So Ilfa went on top of a sail of a ship. You know, it's high up. And he said, if there's anybody that will ask me a question from the teachings of Rabchi and Rabbi Shia, and I won't answer it, I'm going to throw myself down from the sail and die. So an old man came and he asked him a question, he answered it. So it's interesting, these two psukim, the Gemara says, was the story of Rabbi Yechanan and Ilfa. First he said, one pasuk says, there will never be a poor person. They said, let's go into business that there shouldn't be poor people. Rabbi Yechanan heard the conversation of the Malach. So he says, guess what? I'm going to become the other pasuk. I'm going to become the poor guy. Okay. Weiter. But the Torah says like this, third line of 10:16. Dakam Shemaya Tishma Bekala Hashem Elokecha. When will everybody be wealthy? Only if you listen to the voice of Hashem. Lish Velas, it says, Kol HaMitzvah Zeis. To do all of this mitzvah, meaning the law of Shemitah, that Asher Anechi Mitzavcha Hayim, that I'm commanding you today. So Hashem says to the Jewish people, if you listen to my voice and you keep the mitzvahs, I promise you wealth. Because Hashem will bless you as he has told you. You will lend money to a lot of goyim. And you will not need to borrow. And you will control, dominate many nations. And they will not dominate you. So this is basically, the Torah says, there's a condition over here that you need to listen. Okay? Now, what's the double expression, Shemaya Tishma? What's the double expression? Listen, you should listen. So Rashi says in the Medrash, a remarkable thing. If you listen a little bit, God will give you a lot. God will tell you a lot. In Shemaya, if you listen even a little bit to God, Tishma, he will give you a lot to listen to. Which means it will constantly increase the bracha. So the Torah says like this, if you listen to Hashem, you won't be poor. You don't listen to Hashem, you become poor. That's the bottom line of it. Okay. These sukkim are more applicable today. If there will be a poor man, this is basically now the Torah is discussing the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, the importance of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Ki yeh b'cho evyeh ma'achad achecha ba'achad sherecha. If there will be a poor man amongst your brothers, in one of your gates, ba'artzecha, in the land, asher Hashem alakecha neisen loch, that God is giving you, lo'isa'ameitz es levavcha, you should not harden your heart, lo'isikbeitz es yotcha, and you should not close your hand, me'achicha ha'evyeh from your destitute brother. Now, this is a very interesting thing. The Mamleyes brings down, and also other Mefashim bring down, as follows. It says, why does the Torah say like this? It'll be a poor man from one of your brothers, one of your gates, and one of your cities. Yeah? Ba'artzecha in your land. Right? The Torah says like this, if there'll be one of your brothers, in one of your gates, in your land. From there, the Gemara learns out the order of giving tzedakah. Family first, and niye ircha, the poor people of your city come first, and then artzucha, the people of your country come first. People in your country over people of other countries. That means, the Torah is saying, first is your brother, meaning family comes first, and that's, by the way, the din in tzedakah, if people have needy people that are members of their family, the first obligation to give tzedakah is to the members of your family. Then it comes to the poor people of your city, then of your country. There is a question in halacha, because other places it says the poor people of Eretz Yisrael come first. Mm-hmm. So in halacha there's actually an argument. The halacha is though in Shulchan Aruch that the poor people of your city come first. The halacha is. Because look at the Torah says. What? That's an addition. In addition. And not only that, by the way, why does it say me'achad achecha, from one of your brothers? It's another interesting thing. If somebody has a half-brother from the father and a half-brother from the mother, the half-brother from the father comes first. That's what the Gemara learned out. Me'achad achecha. It says, one is a brother, the brother from the father comes first. Now, he brings down over here, the Maimonides brings down, there's an argument in halacha. Yes, the poor people of your city come first. Right? But what happens if somebody comes from a different city who's poor? Should you give less? In other words, like this. Let's say you have $100 to give to tzedakah. Right? That's it. You only have $100 to give to tzedakah. And normally you give it to the people from your city. But a poor person from out of town comes to the city. Should I give him nothing? Or should I give him $5 and the 95 to the rest of the people from my city? What do you do? So there's an argument in halacha. Rabbi Yisrael ben Baruch says, Ani ircha kaidmin is if the poor man is not coming here. They're talking about sending city money to a different city, that you don't have. But if he comes here and he asks you for money, you have to give him. And other poskim hold, no, it's not true. Only, you have to give only to the people from your own city. So very interesting. I mean, there's a whole section of Shulchan Aruch called Hilchot Tzedakah. What, you know, what, where you give, how you give, what you give. The Rambam writes, there's 10 levels in Tzedakah. 10 levels in Tzedakah. You know, it's very interesting, 10 levels. The Rambam says like this. I'm sorry. Shmeina Milas Yesh B'Tzedaka Zula Mila Mizu. There's 8 levels of Tzedaka, one above the next. Okay? He says, what's the highest level of Tzedaka? That somebody who is like faltering in business, and you help him out, you give him money to sustain the business, that he shouldn't lose the business. In other words, you give him, become a partner with him, you give him a job that he won't need to ask for tzedakah. The highest level of tzedakah is, like they say, if you fish, you have food for one day. If you teach somebody how to fish, you have food for life. So you do it in a way that you set them back up on their feet. Less than that, the next, below that, is you give tzedakah, and you don't know who you're giving it to, and the poor man doesn't know where it came from. In other words, you do it in such a way that you don't know, because I'll tell you what, it's very simple. If I know who the poor man that I'm giving the money to is, so basically in my mind, he's indebted to me. I mean, that's the way humans work. I give you money, you owe me. You owe me big time. Also, from the poor man's side, if he knows that you gave him money, he's going to feel bad looking at you or whatever, you know, it's just that. So he says, there was, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was what's called Lishchas Chashoyim. Chashoyim means a secretive tzedakah box. Okay? The people who gave the money didn't know where the money was going to. The one that took the money didn't know where it was coming from and so on. Okay, less than that is the giver knows who's getting it, but the poor man doesn't know who's getting it. Who gave it to him. Okay? He brings down like the Gdele Chachamim, who is this? This was Mar Ukva. Mar says he used to go quietly, and he used to throw money in people's doors, and run away that they shouldn't know. So he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. In fact, Gemara tells a story that Marokva, people wanted to know who it was. And they once caught him throwing money into somebody's house. They chased him, and he ran into a burning furnace. And Hashem made a miracle that he was saved. To that such an extent, he didn't want them to know who gave him the money. He mamash ran away into a furnace. And Hashem saved him. Okay. The less than that is that the poor person knows who he got it from, but the giver doesn't know who got it. Less than that is you give him even before he asks. Below that, you give him after he asks. Less than that, you give him less than you should be giving him, but you give him with a nice smile. Less than that is if you give him with being sad, and you let him know that I really don't want to give you the money. I've got no choice. But these are the levels of tzedakah.
Where is the family coming?
Oh, this is the older thing.
The eight levels is not.
There's bechlal. That's generally in the concept of tzedakah. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Here. Lamashul, if it's a choice of giving a man or a woman, you have to give a woman first. Let me see. Pidyon Shvuyim, saving somebody from prison, is the number one tzedakah. He says, second. One second.
Yeah. So these levels have nothing to do with the how much mitzvah you do. It's just the way you should do it.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, but one second. That's the lowest level. You give him with a sour face.
The expression "you give with a sour face" is as if you get nothing.
One second.
It's like you lost the merit.
That give it sour face and not to do that at all.
Right.
So what's the lowest level? Like not to give?
No, the lowest level. No, speaking about giving. The lowest level, you give him with a sour face.
No, but there's an expression. If you give with a sour face.
What does non-giving fall into?
Then there's another din. If there are a lot of poor people, okay, let's see, a lot of prisoners, you don't know which one to redeem first. So then you have a kohen before Levi, Levi before Yisrael, Yisrael before Chol, Chol Shtuki, and then if there's a Talmid Chacham, he comes first, and then...
Before Kohen?
Yeah, Talmid Chacham comes before a Kohen. Because there's like three Pesukim in the Rambam over here. Ches, Tes, and Yud, that all about the Dinim of Tzedakah who comes first. But he writes, the Marshal, a family comes first. Shulchan Aruch speaks about which poor people come first. Poor people of your own city. In Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that even before the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, even though there are different opinions about that. Okay, whatever. What? Same thing. There's a lot of Meir Baal Nes. There's a lot of it at Meir Baal Nes. Okay, anyway, it says like this. You're not allowed to close your hand. You're not allowed to harden your heart, and you're not allowed to close your hand. Okay? That means like this. Like he brings down at the bottom from Rashi says this. There's a person who doesn't know, if you can't decide should I give tzedakah or not. So, Hashem says, give it, don't harden your heart. To someone who wants to give, but last moment pulls back, Hashem says, don't close your hand. Okay? He's your brother, and therefore, there's a famous story, we'll finish with this. The Rebbe told the story about himself. It says in Kabbalah that you don't give tzedakah at night. If somebody asks you for tzedakah, you have to give tzedakah. Putting in the pushka, by the way, is allowed at night also. But it says in Kabbalah, you don't give tzedakah at night, because tzedakah is chesed, and night is gvura, day is chesed, yom is chesed, and light is darkness, so it's gvura. So it says in Halach Matek, it should be our worst sin, I promise you. Giving tzedakah at night should be the worst aveda we ever do. So the Rebbe said this before he became Rebbe. The Rebbe said, I gave tzedakah at night, and this Jew came over to me, started screaming at me, why are you giving tzedakah at night? And Kabbalah says you don't give tzedakah at night. So the Rebbe said it bothered me, and he went into his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, and he told him what happened. So the Rebbe smiled, the previous Rebbe smiled, and he said, it seems that that guy that screams at you doesn't give tzedakah during the day either. Because if you're a person that gives tzedakah, that should be the worst sin that you give tzedakah at night. I mean, you know, they say, they once caught a big tzaddik learning on Tisha B'Av. When it says Tisha B'Av, it says you're not supposed to learn, you know, except only certain things. But he was learning what it says in Halacha, you're not allowed to learn Tisha B'Av. So he said, why are you learning this in Tisha B'Av? It says you're not allowed to. He says, listen, when I die after 120 years, this is what the tzaddik said. I come up to heaven, they're going to whip me for a lot of sins I did. He said, you know what? Let them add this to the list. It's also okay. It's fine. It should be added to the list. So, at night,